Good morning. Come on now, everybody can do a little bit better than that. The sun is shining, at least for the moment. Good morning. Trust and pray everybody is doing well. Like we've said before, our greeting time on Sundays has been a little bit different. But if you would, just look around, wave at somebody, and give them a smile. Man, look like you're happy to be here today. If you're on our online community, look down in the feed, find somebody you know, say hello. If you don't know anybody or you're too shy, say hello to Dr. Gant. He's taking care of our online community over there today on our Facebook page. If you're in the sanctuary, make sure you look around over there. If you're in the parking lot, look at somebody. Give them a great smile, a smile that says, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that you're here. We're hoping and praying that as you have arrived today, you have done so ready for the Lord to speak to your heart, to speak into who you are, about who he is. And we look forward to what it is that God's going to do in each heart and in each life. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Our Father, as we come to you today, we do so praising your name, and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. What a blessing it is, Lord, to be able to come together under the banner of Jesus Christ and for the cause of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we realize that as we're in different areas and different places concerning this this pandemic, we're so grateful for the means that you have provided for us to be able to communicate one with another. Lord, we anxiously await the day where the handshakes and the hugs will once again be part of our normal operation. And Father, we're thankful for what you've done, for what you're doing, and what you will do. Today, we pray that you will truly help us, Father, to focus upon you, to focus upon your word. And Lord, that in a very, very special way that you will truly, truly speak to our hearts today. Father, bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as you all know, we have been going through this this time that we designate each year. And we call it our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. That is the offering that supports North American missions, which is Canada, United States, as well as Mexico, that keeps our missionaries out there on the field. I really trust and pray that at least at some point through our emphasis, you've had an opportunity to go and see, you know, some of the spotlights, the video spotlights of those missionaries that are out there on the field. And this is what this offering takes care of. We've said before at Central, it's not just about supporting the offering, which we're glad that we do. The same thing holds true with Annie Armstrong as well as Lottie Moon. But we've always wanted to put some faces and some names with those that we support. That's the reason why many, many years ago we started by saying we need to have a missions team here at our church, not just to be able to give, but to put boots on the ground in these different places to cover our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our uttermost parts of the world. So we're so grateful the way God has blessed that over the years. So we want you to think about people. We want you to see faces and names when you think about what it is that you're supporting during this particular time. So, one of the things that we do, we have this time called an in-gathering. That's just a fancy word for when we take up the offering that is designated specifically for our Annie Armstrong offering. We've always asked that you pray for that missionary or those missionaries that the Lord has put on your heart and on your mind. And during our time of in-gathering, we just ask that as you take that gift, as you place it, that you would take the moment to say a prayer for those missionaries as you give. Ask the Lord to take, multiply that offering for his honor, for his glory, that people would come to know him. So as we're in the middle of a pandemic, we're doing things a little bit different. You can, if you would like, you can bring your offering up to the front. You can lay it on the altar here. Say a prayer for it. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, our offering box is back by the door. You can do that. But whatever you do, be sure to say that prayer. If you're over in our sanctuary, you can place that in the offering plate. You can place it on the altar. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, to take this moment, to spend that time, to ask God to bless those missionaries and to bless you for your faithfulness to give. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we ask him to bless this offering. This is our final day of the ingathering, but you can still give through our normal channels. If you're watching online, you can still go to the giving tab, designate that Annie Armstrong, and we'll make sure it gets where it's going. Our goal this year is $7,000 to be able to put toward North American mission. So as we pray and as you contribute, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, we do so realizing that all good things come from you. Father, you have provided for each and every one of us. And Lord, you simply ask back just a little bit, just a small portion. And Father, we think about those today that are missionaries, that are outside of what we know as the norm, to be able to preach the gospel in places that either folks don't want to go, but Lord, there are people there who represent your love as they go out to a lost and dying world. We pray, Father, that you would bless them, that you would bless their ministries. Lord, that you would take this offering and that you would multiply it, that you might be honored and that provision may take place for those who are faithfully out there on the field sharing your word and pointing others to you. So, Father, right now, take this offering. Use it for your will. Use it your way. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And thank you so much for taking this opportunity to contribute to our North American mission offering. I really trust and pray that someday somebody truly will be able to come and say, hey, look, I want you to know I'm here because you supported the missionary that had the opportunity to lead me to the Lord. So thank you for your faithfulness in that regard. And speaking of thank you for faithfulness, it has been a really different year, not just for me, not just for our church, but for each and every one of us, as we all well know. And I just can't say enough words of thanks and praise for those who have continued to help keep us moving forward. As a church, as Central Baptist Church, Lynn, Tammy, all the folks that have stepped up musically, Jimmy Crider, Doug and JD, those that have stepped in to provide music during this this time when it was completely different. They have just been on the front lines. They've been battle warriors, and we're so grateful to be able to have them. And thank you all for your talent, your gifts and abilities that you share with us today. And I know that you're not going to be disappointed, because Tammy's going to come and share her heart and song with you right now.
Saved my life. Yes, the blood it is my victory.
Amen. Thank you, Tammy. I'll go on record right now to say simply, regardless of whether folks may think, see, feel, or believe that something's controversial, there is no salvation without the blood of Jesus Christ. It's plain and simple. So if people want to try to remove that, you cannot remove it because it is the message of Jesus Christ. We are covered by His blood, and that is what brings victory. What a blessing that is today as we come together, as we begin to enter this time that's often viewed as Holy Week, that time that we start to head into the events that took place with Christ as He was on His march to Calvary's cross for the redemption of our sin. And this is the Sunday that is called Palm Sunday. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Luke's Gospel chapter 19. Luke's Gospel chapter 19, and you know, we see in the early parts before the text we're going to look at today, we see the part where Jesus sent His disciples out and said, I want you to go, you'll find a colt or donkey that's tied up. Just go ahead and bring that back to me. It says, if anybody asks, you simply tell him that the Lord has need of it. Now, a lot of times you'll hear preachers preach a message on that on Palm Sunday, because that is a real interesting passage within itself. I mean, Jesus just told a couple of his disciples, go down there, you'll see it, you'll know what it is. Just untie the donkey. Yeah, bring it on back with you. Yeah, where I come from, you get shot for doing something like that. You go untie somebody's animal, horse, donkey, whatever it is. You untie their dog, you're liable to get shot for that. Yeah. Most people would sit back and say, "Well, you know what? I'll loan it to you, but ask me first. Don't just come up there and untie it." So when we see this, Jesus even preempted them for that. They said, well, you just go down there, you'll see it, you'll know which one it is, untie it, bring it back. And when they ask you, what's the deal? That's my new translation for that. When they ask you, what's the deal here? Why are you taking my animal? It's going to be, well, you just tell them that the Lord needs it. Okay. You know, I mean, picture yourself being in that position for a moment. If somebody told you that, you say, well, most of us would probably say, well, you're crazy and the Lord can get his own. It's probably what we would do. It's like, if the Lord really wanted it, he could make it happen himself. He doesn't need you to come take mine. Well, no, that's not what happened. Because, folks, what an important lesson in light of the fact that when the Lord asked us to do something, he's already been there before us and he walks with us along the way. What a beautiful message that is, because that's exactly what took place with the colt. Yeah, they're untying it. Hey, what are you doing? Well, the Lord needs him. Oh, okay, go ahead. Go ahead and take it on. And of course, this kind of sets up Jesus coming in to Jerusalem, and it really sets forth our passages that I want us to look at today. So if you look with me at Luke's Gospel chapter 19, we're going to begin reading at verse 36. Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 36, and it says, and as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Verse 40, but he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we do ask that your word and your will would come forth in our heart today. Lord, I pray that you will help us as we prepare our hearts before you. Lord, as we have gathered around worship and song, and Lord, today we thank you for the walk to Calvary. Lord, we thank you for that crucifixion and your shed blood that redeems us from our sin. Lord, we're thankful for the resurrection, Lord, that we celebrate now, but we're going to really be tuned into it next week. But Father, without the resurrection, salvation wouldn't be possible for each one of us. So Father, we thank you for that. Today, I pray that we will get a glimpse of your heart, not only from the time that you entered into Jerusalem, but Lord, a glimpse into your heart and how you look at and feel for each and every one of us today. Lord, bless this, your messenger, for these moments around your word, as Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I think one of the biggest things that we need to look at in this passage today, although it is chock full of various messages, but the one that always captures me, particularly in these passages, is where it talks about how Jesus wept. Now, there are two different times in the Word of God where we see that Jesus wept. This was one of them, and the other one was when Lazarus had passed away. Now, you have to think about that. Many people will run that through their mind many times because they say, well, why was Jesus weeping when Lazarus passed away? He knew that that he could raise him from the dead. He knew that he was going to. It was all part of the plan. That was part of the reason he lingered on the way there. But yet, Jesus still had feelings for those others. He was watching those around him who were hurting deeply over the loss of a loved one. You know, I've often said this, that when it comes to a loved one that has passed away, here's something that we need to understand. Jesus didn't say we wouldn't sorrow. What he did say was that we wouldn't sorrow as those who have no hope. There's a difference. So, folks, here's the thing we need to understand today. Jesus cares. Jesus cared when he was in the midst of the mourning service for Lazarus, and in this, a completely different situation, we see that Jesus is about to make his entry into Jerusalem. This is the beginning of all the things that Jesus knew was going to take place as far as his arrest, the sham trial, the crucifixion. He knew that time was drawing nigh, and as he was coming into the city, he knew all the things that were going to take place, and because he knew that, the Word tells us that he wept. Now, folks, those weren't tears of joy. You know, there's also two kinds of tears. There are times when we shed tears because we're heartbroken. There are times we shed tears when we're hurt. But there's also a time when we shed tears because we're happy. Now, this wasn't the shedding of tears that I see Jesus shed in these passages in Luke's Gospel in chapter 19. Jesus wept simply because he knew the future of Jerusalem. He knew what was going to take place. He knew what was going to happen. You see, Jesus wept because he knew that there would be those who would reject the opportunity for salvation. These were the faces that Jesus looked at as he was making his way into Jerusalem. And not only as he was making his way into Jerusalem, he was seeing this grand parade, as it were. You know, we call this Palm Sunday. Yeah, most of us know why. If you had an opportunity to grow up in church, there were probably times that maybe in your children's Sunday school class you had the palm branches, and maybe your Sunday school teacher talked about what was taking place with that and how they were celebrating Jesus coming in. They were celebrating this entry of a king. But here's the problem. They weren't celebrating the entry of the right type of a king. Let me just mention that when they saw Jesus coming in, they saw him coming in as a gallant warrior. Not that that's too far off, but yet they saw him coming in as the one who would deliver them from Roman rule that was oppressing them. They were viewing him as the guy who was going to come in and take over and liberate them from being under the Romans. And that, my friend, as we know, because we've seen the whole story, is not the way that Jesus entered. That was not the type of king that Jesus was coming to them to be. So you have to understand that they didn't understand this as Jesus began his entry into Jerusalem. They were waving the palm branches, and the people were showing that they expected Jesus to be that warrior, that Messiah, who was going to lead them to freedom from that Roman rule. But instead of praising Jesus for who he really was, they were praising Jesus for what they thought he would be. Now, I want to ask you this morning. How many of us are praising Jesus for what we think he will be, not for what he is? Now, when we consider that, there are times in our life when we build up a plan, don't we? We have a plan, and understand my heart when I tell you, there's nothing wrong with planning. God wants us to plan. He wants us to be prepared. There's nothing in the world wrong with planning. But the idea is that you plan based on God's ideas and plans that he already has in place. And a lot of you would sit back and say, well, how are we supposed to know that? When you walk with him and talk with him and he reveals himself to you, then you begin to understand what his plan for your life is, what is going on, what is taking place. That's when all this makes sense. It's not about us creating a plan and saying, Lord, come bless my plan. But we do that, don't we? Oh, Lord, this is what I've got in mind. Please help me along the way with it. And the Lord's like, no, no, you don't get it. You have got a plan that you're going to crash and burn with. So the idea is, how about let's use my plan? Now, some of you in here are creative geniuses at your job and other places. What you have to do and what you understand is that when you go into a place and you have people who maybe are under you or work under you, and you've realized that when it comes down to leadership, they may have a silly idea, but you can't really just come out and say it's a silly idea, at least all the time, all right? So what you have to do is you have to lead them to a plan that you've already got, but you need to make them think it's their idea. How many of y'all have ever been there before? You need to make them think it's their. Why do you need to make them think it's their idea? Because they'll support it at that particular point. Now, I'm not saying that that's what the Lord does. The Lord says, look, I've got a plan for you. This is a plan that's going to work. I'm going to show it to be faithful. And Jesus is riding in. I want you to picture the scene. I want you to put yourself in Jesus' place for just a moment. You're knowing what's going to take place. You are knowing that you are heading towards Calvary's cross. As you begin to enter into Jerusalem, which is the place that houses God's chosen people, those that he loved dearly, and you realize that what you're seeing is this grand hip parade. The people are waving and they're shouting. They're shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All that sounds great, doesn't it? All of that sounds like the fanfare that you would think that Jesus would need, but the problem was Jesus already knew that they didn't get it. Jesus already knew some other things as well, that some of those that were waving those palm branches and saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, in just a matter of a few days would be the same ones that would be yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Just a matter of days. How fickle we are, isn't it? You see, Jesus knew that. Picture that in your mind. Jesus is riding in and he is looking, but let me tell you the heartbreaking part. Here's part of the reason I believe that Jesus wept. Because Jesus looked upon the people with compassion. Jesus looked upon the people and knew that a lot of them just didn't get it. Jesus looked upon the people and realized that he loved them so much that he was going to lay down his life and pick it back up again for their salvation. And he knew that there would still be people who would turn away from him. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, you know, I don't know about all that. Yeah, look around you today. How many people have you shared the saving grace of Jesus Christ with? Now, I hope that you didn't just get halted right there by the Holy Spirit and go, oh, well, you know, I hadn't done as good as I should have done. But how many people have you had compassion for? You love them and you care about them. You don't want to see them spend an eternity in hell. And you have reached out to them in love. By the way, folks, we can't save anybody. Only Jesus saves. But we're trying our best to point them in his direction. And time after time after time after time, they have rejected him. And it breaks your heart. Because they just don't get it. You see, they'll tell you things like, well, you know what? I'll tell you one thing. I'm still young. I have plenty of time. If this past year has told us anything, you may not have as much time as you think you've got, right? The Lord could call us home today, either by the grave or by the wave. One of the two. And people sit back and say, oh, I just want to, yeah, I can't become a Christian until I
cut this off, get rid of that, change this around, move this backwards. And here's the thing. They really believe that in a lot of cases. And yet we sit back and say, no, you don't get it. Jesus says, you come to me just as you are. Did you get that? Get this today. Jesus looks upon you as he rides through, and he looks at those that you and I, whether we say we do or not, that you and I look at as scary. The ones that you and I look at as undesirable. You know what Jesus says? They're my people right there. And I believe that there are times when people truly feel like, you know what, I want to be a born-again believer. I want to be one of Christ, but look at me. You know what we can say to that? Look at us. Because last time I checked, every last one of you is a sinner. Amen? And all we really are sinners saved by grace, period. That's it. So we're no better than anyone else. We've said that before. We can say it all we want to, but we've got to start walking that. We've got to start reaching out to those who believe that they're undesirable. Those who believe, you know what? The Lord wouldn't want me. Look at me. I'm a mess. What's like at the ESPN commercial? We're all a mess. This past year, every one of us aren't we? Everybody's a mess. Jesus loves the mess that you are. How much? Enough to go to Calvary's cross just for you. You know, when I look at these passages and I think about what Jesus must have felt as he began that entry into Jerusalem, how he looked into the faces of those that he knew in just a few days would be hollering, crucify him. I mean, I know how I would feel, and I know probably how most of you all would feel. If you already knew what somebody was going to do in this regard, how they were going to turn on you, you know what we would do is we were riding by, we would probably go, we wouldn't want to look at them. We'd be sitting there going, you hypocrite. And Jesus sat there saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and knew that some of those faces would be hollering, crucify him. In fact, the majority would be hollering, crucify him. Because remember last time I checked, probably not going to preach that this year, but remember old Peter? Peter, Lord, though the rest of these walk on you, I'm going to be right here. And Jesus even told him right there, said, Peter, look, not only are you going to deny me, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Now, for those of you who aren't country boys and girls, when the rooster crows, that means you're going to deny me three times before morning. Not only once, not twice, but three times. Did Peter deny him? Once? Nope. Twice? Nope. Three times? It was three times. And right after the third time, what did he hear? What a reminder of what Jesus had said. Peter was crushed inside. But nonetheless, the Lord loved him. The Lord had a plan for him. The Lord knew the path that he would walk to Golgotha. But let me tell you what else he knew. He also knew that on the third day, the grave was no longer going to hold him. I'm getting into next week now. But you can't have the death without the resurrection. You can't have salvation without the shed blood of Jesus crucified, buried, and risen. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate the resurrection, but I want us to get an early start, and I don't want it to ever end. How about let's celebrate the resurrection every day that God gives us breath? To be able to say, thank you, Lord, for the issues of this past year. How many of you can say that? Listen, I want to encourage you as well along the way. Why don't you find the blessing over this past year? Because you know, the more you look, the more you find. I found a lot of blessing in this past year. I found a lot of things that I never, ever would have done. Things that never would have been accomplished without Jesus giving us a little bump in a different direction. And I believe that all that is redemptive. Jesus wept because he had come to bring eternal life to all who would repent and all who would trust in him as their Lord and Savior. And he knew many would choose not to follow him. How heartbreaking is that? When is the last time, folks? And this is something that we're talking about. This is something that we're working on. I'm going to ask you a real question. Jesus was burdened for Jerusalem, and that is the reason that he wept over it. Now, here's the question. How burdened are we for our families? How burdened are we for our town, for our schools? How burdened are we? Does it matter to us that these people are going to die and go to hell without Jesus? Does that matter? Oh, mercy, man, the preacher just said the H word. Yeah, because you know what? Hell's a real place just like heaven is. And too many times we want to dance around it. We want to be politically correct. Well, let's not preach about blood now, preacher, because that'll offend people. Well, it's time to get wholly offended because you don't have salvation without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have salvation without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the message. And if you take that apart, you don't have a message. Now, Jesus also taught us some things. He said, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And we sit back and go, I can do that. But sometimes we have a little trouble when he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who is my neighbor? If they're living and breathing and around you, that's your neighbor. Now, I know all of us have some people in our lives that make us think of things that don't please Jesus, right? You mean I'm supposed to love them? Yeah. You mean I'm supposed to love that person over there that doesn't even look like a person? Yeah. Remember what we said a minute ago? Jesus said, you come to me just as you are. Weird clothes, weird piercings, things that you and I would go, hey, guess what? Jesus loved them just like he loved you. Jesus went to Calvary for them just like he went for you. And you know what Jesus has an expectation? He says, you start acting like my family and you reach those people because I died for them just as much as I did for you. Jesus, as he walked in, now, I got all kinds of notes here, but they're gone. Forget that. Because there's something I want us to think about today. I want you to imagine for just a moment that Jesus is standing right over there. For those of you in the sanctuary, just imagine Jesus is standing right over there at the door to the left. For those of you in the parking lot, you know, just imagine Jesus kind of standing right over here at the front door. For those of you who are watching, you know, from home, just imagine Jesus standing there in your living room today, or your study, or your den, or wherever it is. If you're driving down the road, imagine Jesus sitting right there in the seat beside you. And we look and we say, oh, well, there's Jesus. Just imagine that instead of Jesus looking over Jerusalem, he's looking over your life. Now remember what we said. As he came into Jerusalem, he was looking into the faces that he had compassion for. He knew what was going to take place. He saw them waving the branches. He saw them cheering him. He looked into the faces of some of them and knew that they would be yelling, "Crucify him," a few days later. He looked into some of the faces and knew there was a genuine love. He looked in many of the faces and realized they didn't really understand or get why it was that he was there just yet. So in your life, Jesus is right over there. He is looking into your life. He is looking straight through you. He is looking at your actions. He's looking at your words. He's looking at your thoughts. He's looking at your deeds. He's looking at your daily calendar of activity. He knows what is taking place in your life. Jesus comes closer, and you see he begins to weep. Oh, how I wish that you, I can picture him saying, oh, how I wish that you of all people would understand the way of peace. How I wish today that you of all people would understand that I have a plan for you. How I wish today that you of all people would understand that you don't need to be afraid. And Jesus looks at you with the tears streaming down his eyes. And he says to you, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. You know, there's a lot of us, probably all of us, that at some point in our life, we have just had a catastrophe. When it comes down to our walk with the Lord, our life may have been a catastrophe before we met Jesus, and Satan wants to continue to remind us of that. We maybe have even had a catastrophe when we were walking with him better than we ever have, and we had a fall. Remember, I said most of us, if not all of us. Let me tell you what Jesus says. Although there may be tears in his eyes, he looks at you and he says this, I forgive you. You are forgiven. Whew. How beautiful to hear those words. Jesus says, I forgive your fear. He says, I forgive your anger. I forgive your resentment. I forgive your prejudice. How I wish that you of all people would understand that I died just for you. If you were the only person in the world, think about this for a minute. How many people do you know in your life that would die for you today? Most of y'all said, well, maybe a few, mom, dad. Outside of that, some of y'all are saying, well, I would die for my kids. You, listen, do you know how much love you have for your children that would lead you to say that? I would lay down my life for my children because that's how much I love them. Let me tell you something that's going to surprise you today. That love that you have for those children is only about that much of the love that God has for you. And you say, I can't see how that's possible. Good, but it's true. You just have to trust it. How I wish today that you of all people would understand that I love you. Can you hear Jesus say that to you right now? As he walks through your life, as he walks through the church, as he walks through the parking lot, as he walks through the sanctuary, as he walks through your living room, as he rides down the road with you, the tears. He's saying, I got plans for you. I love you. Now, most of us maybe understand that. Most of us trust Christ. We've been walking with him. But you know what? I believe sometimes the Lord says, I want to use you, my child, as my hands and my feet to reach other people. You know what? Sometimes we do really good till we get to that point, and then we're like, oh, man, I didn't sign up for that. Oh, no, 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 no. No, you don't get it. I'm a guy that works with my hands. I'm not real good with my mouth. I can't do that. Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus is not telling you to go out and enroll in a witnessing without fear program, although that's not a bad thing. You know, I think the greatest times of salvation I've seen is when you've just been yourself, and the compassion and the love that you have for those people in your midst shows through. And let me make you this promise. It doesn't matter what the conversation is. In my lifetime, Jesus has always granted a way for me to bring it around to his love for that person. Always. 100% of the time. Never fails. Isn't that cool? All you got to do is look for it. Look for the divine appointment. See, Jesus stands before you this morning. Do you see tears streaming down his face? See, he stands here. See, I believe we would act different if it were Jesus who was standing right here. I believe that we probably would do something different if Jesus was making eye contact with us as he looks across the room. Because see, we know he knows our life. Would he look into your life and go, as he looks at you going, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Is it real? Does he know that you're just going to wave those palms on Sunday and walk away on Monday and just put them away to the next week? He knows every square inch of your life, period. And he's sitting there going, today, here's what he's doing today, right now. He's going, look at me, make eye contact with me. You ever done that to somebody? Look at me when I'm talking to you. Jesus, he's not looking at you with a mean look. He's looking at you with a hurt look. And some of you are sitting back going, Lord, you can't love me. He's going, don't tell me what I can't do. I love you. But Lord, you don't know what I've done. He says, don't care what you've done. I can forgive you and give you a new chance. Give me a chance. And for some of us, who are believers, some of us haven't been walking with him. He's calling us back. We're breaking his heart because we're missing the opportunities that he's given us. Jesus today says, look at me. Do you see the tears? He stands before you today. What is your response to him? Will you commit to him? Or maybe recommit yourself to him today. I'm going to ask Lynn if she would come on up. In just a moment, we're going to have our time of invitation. See, the time of invitation is already going on. It's already started because it is the Lord who is inviting you back into his presence. It is the Lord who is telling you today, I forgive you. It is the Lord who is telling you today, I already know all the stuff. I already know what's going to take place. I know what you've done. Quit trying to hide it from me. Just confess it before me that you might understand, as this passage was telling us, the peace that truly passes all understanding. Folks, let me tell you, if you are running around with unconfessed sin in your life, you are miserable. Sometimes people look at me and have talked to me and they've said, preacher, I don't get it. I'm a believer. I don't understand how this guy over here that I know in my life, he has no cares in the world. He has no problems in the world. His life seems to be rolling along fine. And here I am trying to serve Jesus and I have hurdle after hurdle after hurdle, heartache after heartache after heartache. Why is that? I said, that's an easy one. I said, because they don't know any better. There's no conviction in their life where they've done wrong. They sleep at night just fine. But you know what the problem with that is? That if they close their eyes on this earth, they will open them in hell for all eternity. You see, the miserable person is the believer who's walking outside of the will of God because there's conviction. And all God's people who've ever been convicted said, amen. That was a low one, but I got you. You can't run from him. And today, Jesus is saying, look at me. You have broken my heart, but I love you. And I want to forgive you. Will you give me a chance? Because you see, Jesus also created within us a choice, a free will to be able to choose. Why did he do that? Because Jesus never wanted to force anyone to love him. You can't force someone to love you, can you? It has to be their choice. And today, you stand at the foot of the cross with a choice to make. For some of you, the choice may be whether or not you're going to trust him as Lord and Savior of your life. It may be a salvation decision. If that's what the Lord has put on your heart, then simply just do this. Just bow your head and say, Lord, I understand I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Teach me, O Father, to walk in your way. In Jesus' name. Hey, listen, if you did that, welcome to the family. We like big families, don't we? You said, what, is that easy? Yep. Jesus said a child can understand it. It is that easy. It really, really is. If you meant it with all your heart and you trusted him. Listen, some of you today, Jesus has passed through your life and you see the tears that you have brought him in your life. And the conviction that you need to return to him is there. As it is, I'm just simply asking you right now, if that's the conviction of your heart, to say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming home. Forgive me. Fill me with your peace. And help me, Father. I'm coming home. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you did that, the Father was already on his way to you, just like the old prodigal's dad. And when you said that, he threw his arms around you. And you might even be like that prodigal who was saying, look, I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. And he's like, forget that. Listen, kill the fatted calf. Get the ring. Get a ring for his finger. Get the coat. We're going to celebrate because my son who was lost is now found. What joy in the household. Can you feel that peace? Hey, listen, that's the Father. I want you, each and every one of us, listen, if the Lord hasn't convicted your heart in that way today, then I'm asking you to pray for your brothers and sisters today, no matter where they are. If he has convicted your heart, if you've accepted Christ, if you've returned to him, let us know. Listen, if you're watching online, let us know. We'd love to get some information. Let us know before you leave here, if you're here. We want to help you grow in your walk and grow in your faith. That's what we're here for, man. We want to celebrate. We love family. We love new family members, don't we? Yeah. We love returning family members as well. I'm just asking you for these moments. If you've made a decision today, you spend a few moments in prayer with our Lord. If the Lord didn't lead you to make a personal decision, then what I'm asking you to do is this. I'm asking you to pray for those others. This is your time to spend with the Father. Will you do that now as we pray together? Let's pray.
I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along. Now satisfied.
truly is the only one who can. Before we dismiss, I want you to understand this, because the Lord passed through your life today, and he says, the latter part of the passages that we dealt today, look with me if you would down there at verse 43. Notice what he says in verse 43. He says, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another. And here's why. Latter part of verse 44. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Folks, let me tell you something. The Lord has visited you today. Be sure you know the time of your of his visitation in your life. It's going to be a great week as we trust the Lord. In just a moment, I'm going to see us off in a word of prayer. A couple of things I want to give you as reminders. Number one, don't forget Awana tonight, 5:30 for our youth, 6 o'clock for all others. I know there's probably good stuff planned. Tony's already getting the schedule out for those that are part of Awana for when they're going to wind the year down. I believe it's going to be our homecoming day, third Sunday in May. So that will be the final Awana before we head into the summer. And I want to thank Tony. I want to thank all of our Awana workers who you have walked forward in the darkness, as it were, to pull off Awana for this year. What a blessing. And God is going to God's going to reward you for it. In just a moment, listen, don't forget, we're still taking our Annie Armstrong offering. You can designate that for Annie Armstrong. Please don't take away from your regular tithe and offering to do that. Offering boxes are in the back of the multi-purpose building there as you go out the door. If you're in here, if you're in our sanctuary, the offering plate's up front. If you're outside, blow the horn at one of our people who will get it and make sure it gets in place. So we're grateful for each and every person that is here. Before I pray, I want to remind folks this coming week, the month of April, we have set out for a prayer and fasting movement. That's what I want to call it. I want to see that become a movement within our church. Now, I know some people are sitting there going, well, I've never fasted before. That's a little weird to me. Try it. I wish as we're heading into it, I had a little bit more opportunity to be able to share more about that. Folks have asked me. There are some cards back there. If you see it, it says, why fast? Go ahead and pick one of those up on your way out. I said basically that fasting is getting ready for a new season in life. But it's also prayer and fasting equals intentionally seeking God. And that is what I want us to do this month that we're coming into, the month of April, on Thursdays. This is what I'm asking you to do. On Thursdays, we want you at some point to make that appointment with the Lord here at his house. If you're a morning person, the church will be open from 6 a.m. To 9 a.m. A deacon will be there. We'll have some prayer guides for you. Nobody's going to lead you in anything. The idea is for you to spend that personal alone time with the Lord because you made an appointment to do so with him. We're going to ask you this week to do a couple of things. Number one, we need to pray for personal repentance. We all need to repent before the Lord so that he will hear our prayer. We need to work on ourselves first. So Thursday morning, you can do that. Then Thursday, every Thursday in the evening from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., the church will also be open. So if you're not a morning person, come on by between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Again, a deacon will be there. Now, this Thursday is going to be a little bit different because this is Maundy Thursday. That was the night that Jesus shared communion with his disciples. So in the evening of this coming Thursday, Maundy Thursday, we are going to be observing communion. You won't have to do that on your own. I'll lead you in that. But we're going to do that at, 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock
on the hour at 7 o'clock and at 8 o'clock. As far as your personal prayer time, schedule it either before one of those times of communion. It's not going to be an in-depth communion, but it's going to be a time for us to truly examine ourselves before the Lord, that we might come into repentance and a right heart with Him as we begin to ask God to do some incredible things as we emerge from this pandemic. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited about what God has in store. You know why? Because I don't have any idea what it is. I think that's where we are. I think that's when God does His best. That's what we're seeking God for. Lord, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we go? And we need to do that as the body of Christ. Because you know what? He says this, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, then it shall be open. Fasting, I know some of y'all are saying, well, tell me a little bit more about that. I've said before, it could be a meal. I'm not asking you to do this for 30 days. Please, as a matter of fact, I'm asking you not to do this for 30 days because I don't want to have to try to come visit you in the hospital because you did something really crazy. Sometimes it's just a certain thing that is sacrificial to you. Depending on your age, you might try fasting social media for a day. You might try fasting television for a day, the news for a day. I guarantee you your mental health would be better if you do that. It could be that you fast a meal. Now, I've said this before. For me, I'm not going to sit back and say, well, I'm gonna fast Brussels sprouts. Let me tell you why. I can't stand Brussels sprouts. That's not a sacrifice. But something that I really, really want and desire. And if I'm not asking you to do it the whole month, but I'm asking you to do it at least on the Thursdays of that month as we come together corporately in prayer. Will you do that? I promise you God will do some great things if we do that. Back there on the table, there is a card that says, why fast? You can pick that up. There's also a commitment card. We're not taking that up. That's your commitment. Stick that up on the mirror. Put that in the car. Put that someplace where you'll see it. Put it on the refrigerator. You'll see it a lot of times there, okay? Your commitment to the Lord. I'm going to fast. This is when I'm going to fast. This is when I'm going to fast. We're not taking it up. That's for you. That's your reminder. Will you join us and be a part of God doing something great, special, and incredible? It's going to be a fantastic journey. Starting this coming Thursday evening, all right? Join us. We'll be meeting in the sanctuary, all right? That's where we're going to meet. Communion at 7 and 8, but the church still will be open between 6 and 9, all right? Guys, I love you. Let's have us a word of prayer. We'll get you on out here as far as moving along with your Sunday. And I love seeing little ones, man. I tell you, I look out there and see these little ones around. Some of them haven't quite made it into the world yet, but we're praying for them to get here, and some of them have. She was going to come up and help me a minute ago. Let me pray with you, folks. Father, you're good to us. We're so grateful and thankful for this opportunity to be part of a fellowship that loves you. Lord, help us to love one another as we should. Help us to love you as we should. Lord, I pray that when you pass through our church and when you pass through our lives, that as we see tears, they would be tears of joy. Lord, if they're sad tears, we pray that they will be turned around by the commitments that you've asked us to make and the commitments that have been made in your presence today. Lord, you have blessed us. Lord, you have carried us through the pandemic. Sometimes it's been rougher than others, but you have provided for us financially. Lord, help us to be faithful to give you back the tithe, that portion that you've asked us for. The portion that you've so richly blessed us with. May we honor that as we give back to you, that we might be blessed and that your work may go forward. Father, help us as we go away from here today to look for the divine appointments around us to see where you want to use us. Bless this family. Bless our individual families. And Lord, bring us back again at an appointed time to be able to worship you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Praying y'all have a great week.